You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of you, of the afflictions of Christ, in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in the mighty. Lord, thank you for the reading of your word. Please help us to apply it to our lives. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's pray. Father, do thank you for your blessing on the study to follow, and that we might be attentive to the word and scripture as it speaks to our heart, and that your spirit might take the things of Christ and make them real to us, and that we might, Father, glorify Christ in all that we say and do, that we might grow up in the spirit of wisdom and knowledge of him, and that might be the controlling factor in our life, that we might want to be like him. However you direct, and whatever course you may place us. May we be blessed, Father, in doing that which is good and acceptable in your sight. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's go to the lesson. In Colossians, we've been studying. Kind of bring your thoughts together. We've been studying, and we'll just briefly hit on it. We've looked, Scott read scripture. Paul says he'd been made the minister of this mystery. He'd been made the one who was given the responsibilities of bringing the Gentiles into this new revelation. See, we know that it had been given to him because of verse 25. I am made the minister according to a dispensation of God. Dispensation, a whole new economy. Not the old economy. Has nothing to do with the old economy that had Israel as the apple of his eye. Not the old economy that Paul was a prisoner for in Acts chapter 28, verse 20. He's a prisoner in that of the hope of Israel. He's in these chains, he says, for the hope of Israel. It's not that anymore. It's a new dispensation. It's a new economy. And he says in verse 25 that it was given to him by God to complete the Word of God. The Word of God is complete. People today don't add to the Word of God. People today don't get a new revelation. They don't get a new dispensation. It's complete. It's filled to the full is what that word means. We understand it better if we apply it to ourselves over in chapter 2, verse 10. You, it says, are complete in him. See, there's not anything you can do to add to what God has done to you if you're a child of God. You are complete in him. There's not anything that any of you did for your mother and your father when they conceived you and you were born. Right? Can you think of something that you've added to make you something, you know, more than a human being? I mean, you are a human being because of that birth and that new creature in Christ. So you're complete in him, and as complete as you are in him because of what God has done, Paul says, I've completed the Word of God. Nobody can add anything to it. Now, there are people out there all the time trying to add to it. There are people out there all the time trying to, and they're not just of a different religion, you know. They're even professing to be Christians. And they add to the Word of God new revelations, new words of understanding and knowledge. And God's completed that. What he's got to say can be found right here in the book. And so that's why Paul warns them over in chapter 2. Look at verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. We're subject to it. Oh, we are. We're prone to being beguiled by enticing words. We need to be on our guard not to be tempted away from what God has said. He says about these in verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." There's two words now. See, there's that first word, beguile, in verse 4, and then a new word in verse 8, spoil. Anybody here been spoiled? Well, the waitress at last weekend thought I had. My wife didn't correct her at all. Encouraged her. That's not what that means. That little word, spoil, look over your chapter 2, look at verse 15. He spoiled principalities and powers. You know what he did? He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That means to strip away. He stripped away. A conquering hero, when he defeats his enemy, he does defeat them, and he does spoil them. He takes away what they have. But it's more than that, what Christ has done. He has not only stripped away their power and the effectiveness of that power, but he's openly triumphed over them and made a show of them. He has brought them back in chains, as a conquering hero would, into town to demonstrate to everyone that can see lining the streets that you don't have to fear this anymore. Now, the other word, beguile, is an interesting word because it means to deceive. And it's used in other places, talks about Eve. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. But Eve was deceived. It means to delude or to defraud. All right, we're in the post office and there's a big old book of Most Wanted. And a little 8-year-old came out in me. Well, let's look at that. And there's people in there, you know, that have done all kinds of terrible things. Aggravated murder, bank fraud, flight in prison, from imprisonment. But I thought about that bank fraud, and then we had these people that were caught the other day writing these bogus checks and having these false identities here in Oklahoma City. God doesn't want you to be defrauded by these folks. Oh, and it's easy to pick out the ones that wear paint all over their face, carry a spear, and got a grass skirt, and ooh-wah, ooh-wah, ooh-ooh, come down the middle. Those aren't the ones that are going to deceive you. They won't beguile you. They're easy ones to pick out. It's the ones that are crafty. They really are in the camp of the devil. And you can always separate the two, because if it's not out of the book, what they have to teach, rightly divided, beware. Because there is truth and there's untruth. Either it's truth and it follows that river of truth, or it comes from what? The father of lies. As Mac used to say, it's either energized from above or it's energized from below. To be beguiled, and for one to beguile another, doesn't honor our Lord. And it shows that we're in the confines and the grips of Satan. We have that warning over in Ephesians. Turn over there a couple of pages back to the left. Chapter 4. We're told not to be children. Not to be children. Verse 14. "We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive." What is it that characterizes a child? What is it that characterizes an adult that acts like a child? Unlearned. Unstable. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter talks about this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. Who's them? Look back at verse 10. Chiefly them that walk what? After the flesh. Now come with me to verse 14. These have their eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Beguiling who? Souls. You and me. But which kind? Unstable. Unstable. It's an interesting word. I looked it up. It means star. It means a singular star. Right out there in the sky. You all know what constellations are. They're a group of stars that maintain a consistency and a constancy that is unchanged so that you can follow them and you can lead your life by it. You can guide. You can find your direction. But one star, without those others in there, it can be anywhere going doing anything. It's unstable. I mean, that's how it's interpreted here. I mean, that's the word. It means a star. Unstable. Go over to back to the left to James chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is what? Unstable. See, double-mindedness comes from wavering. It's not being able to make your mind up. Being caught between two positions. You have that responsibility to make a decision about what is. Glad somebody got that. Now you do. You do. To be unbeguiled is to be constant, consistent, to follow that truth that God has given. To know what it is. If you don't know what it is, you're still a child being tossed to and fro by what? Every wind of what? Doctrines. Come back to Colossians. Paul says in that first chapter, verse 25, it's been given him to complete the Word of God. Last phrase, to fill it up to the full. And he's done it. And he tells you why, or what, in verse 26. Even the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. You can't find it anywhere. Over in Ephesians chapter 3, right before this verse, it talks about it had been given to Paul to be the minister of the Gentiles, to teach them the unsearchable riches of God. The untrackable. Unsearchable is a good word. Untrackable. You can't find them anywhere else in Scripture. That's what he's talking about here. That's what he says in verse 26. The mystery has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. To you and me, not to the lost one. The lost one needs Christ. Verse 27, to the saints God wants to make known. It's not a give me. God wants to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That was our lesson today. I've ran out of time. I want you to look at that, though. It tells you God's desire is that you know what this mystery is among the Gentiles. Because prior to the writing of the prison epistles, this was not alive. It wasn't known. Because Christ was among the Jews. What advantage hath the Jew? Romans chapter 3. Well, in every way. We don't say that today. Not at all. I wonder why. Things have changed. We're going to pick that up. This is what we'll look at next week, and we'll finish this out. I think next week we'll finish it out. And try to look at this idea that Christ is in you is not the idea of Christ in you. You don't understand that? Come back next week and I'll explain it. Let's pray. Father, do thank you as you take the Word, as you've shown us various passages that we need to go back and we spend time with and to study. And we need to recognize how important it is to understand there is a war going on and that you've provided a path and made the ultimate sacrifice through your Son and His shed blood that we should follow. Encourage us in that direction and give us strength to be bold to accomplish that which you before ordained we should accomplish. And we thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.